Think about what happened in New York on the 11th of September 2001. Planes loaded with helpless passengers were flown into the Twin Towers by terrorists. The world watched in horror as their television screens showed the drama being played out. Bodies flew through the smoke-filled air as panic-stricken survivors fled the scene. I can remember exactly where I was when it happened. I remember what I was doing. And I remember being glued to the television screen and sobbing for days on end, grief-stricken for people that I had never even known. I also remember that it took me a while before I could book a plane ticket without feelings of trepidation. I believe that Abraham felt the exact same way after seeing the smoke of Sodom and Gomorrah. Perhaps he could even smell the terrible stench of burned flesh and sulfur that terrible morning. And what was Abraham's reaction? He packed up his tent and left the area, settling in Gerar, the land of the Philistines. He ran away from the sight of death and came face to face with that same threat when Abimelech sent for Sarah to be his wife. Look closely at Genesis 20, verse 11. Abraham said that the reason he lied about Sarah being his sister was because he was certain that he would be killed on account of men wanting to take Sarah to be their wife. Abraham was scared of death. Hebrews 11. I'm going to read verse 1, verse 6, and then verses 8 to 12. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Here was Abraham, the father of faith, and yet he was scared to die. That's what we find out in Genesis. But you know what? In Hebrews, it never mentions that. In Hebrews, the writer does not mention any of his failures, any of his shortcomings. He only speaks of the end result. And you know why I believe that is? I believe it's because that's all that God writes down. God's not worried about our failures, and he's not worried about the things that we fear and the things that we do wrong. What he records is what we do right. That's what matters to him. Why? Because God is not focused on where we are right now. God is seeing us through the eyes of one who sees the finished product. He sees what we will be. He sees what he's designed in us and what he's working inside of us. Faith really is a journey. I was pleasantly surprised when I studied the word for faith. You can do it yourself. Get a Strong's dictionary and check it out for yourself. What I discovered when I did so was that faith is not some mystical, intangible thing. It's not something that you work up inside of yourself. No. To have faith means that you have been persuaded by God's acts of faithful friendship towards you as He has actively pursued you. And that's what we see happened with Abraham. God took him step by step by step and showed him and taught him and revealed to Abraham how faithful and how good God was. And as Abraham learned more and more about God, he was able to go to places and do things that he couldn't do before. Right now, we are examining where Abraham was at after Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. But we're going to see in a future lesson how God taught him, how God showed him about the fact that God is Lord over death and over life, and that He is the God who resurrects what was dead and brings it back to life. Once Abraham got that revelation, he no longer was afraid of death. And as I said, we will see that later on in a future lesson. There is one last point for us to examine in the story, and that is the power of praying for others to be healed. Just like Pharaoh, Abimelech was captivated by Sarah's beauty and took her to be his wife. Just like Pharaoh, Abimelech did not have a chance to consummate the marriage. Just like with Pharaoh, Abimelech's household suffered because God protected Sarah. Pharaoh's household suffered plagues, while God closed the wombs of all the women in Abimelech's household. What this means is not completely clear. Robert Alter's commentary says that it appears that from God's conversation with Abimelech, that it was not actually the women that were affected, but it was indeed the men who were rendered impotent while Sarah was in Abimelech's household. Either way, the women in Abimelech's household were unable to have babies as a result. Abimelech returned Sarah to Abraham. Abraham then prayed for him, and the members of his household were all healed. As soon as the members of Abimelech's household were healed, God then opened Sarah's womb as well, and she conceived and bore Isaac. Genesis 20 verse 17 to 21 verse 3 says, "Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his slave girls, so that they could have children again. For the Lord had closed up every womb in Abimelech's household because of Abraham's wife Sarah. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac." There is power in praying for others to be healed. Jesus said that we must do to others what we want them to do to us. Job was also healed and restored after he prayed for his friends in Job 42. Sometimes the key to unlocking our own victory is to unlock it for someone else. We must never allow our own lack or pain to close our hearts towards others. Our closed hearts that stop us from giving may also stop us from receiving. And so I leave you with this one thought to ponder for this week. Remember that to have faith means that you have been persuaded by God's acts of faithful friendship towards you, as He has actively pursued you. Amen. See you next time. God bless. Bye for now.